Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, when was that? Foolish question. In the beginning means when all things which now are began to be. This beginning was in eternity. And in eternity, there is neither beginning nor end, neither when nor then. In the beginning, God created. Create means to make something out of nothing by a mere word. How could it be otherwise, since God created in the beginning when He alone was? God. Who is God? God is the Eternal One, with whom there is neither beginning nor end. This is beyond our comprehension. What shall we say of God? God is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Scriptures say much more of God. For instance, that God is a spirit, that He is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, holy, just, faithful, benevolent, merciful, and gracious. But there is nothing to which we can liken God, or make Him equal, or compare Him, that He may be like. We can and should only worship Him. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that is, everything that is, all creatures, visible and invisible. What is meant here with the heaven? Not the blue sky studded with stars, which we see above us. This heaven God created later. Heaven here means everything that does not pertain and belong to the earth, of all which we, with our limited and finite mind, have no conception and understanding. With heaven is meant the abode of the holy angels, those shining morning stars, and sons of God, to whom God there reveals Himself. With heaven is meant the place where God has prepared His throne, and where He will give all glory and bliss to them that are His. This heaven is also referred to in Scriptures as paradise. Surely, this is not the sky overhead, the heaven studded with stars. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven. With these words, we certainly do not mean to say that God is only in heaven. Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, cannot encompass thee, O God. God, the eternal Spirit, who is from everlasting to everlasting, is at hand and afar off, fills heaven and earth, is at hand and afar off also in heaven. Under chapter 2, we shall see what it is to be said of the earth in the beginning. Prayer. O God, Thou art great. Behold, I, Thy humble creature, worship Thee. But I worship Thee in Thy love, wherewith Thou lovest me, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Creator, when I see Thy power, Thy wisdom here and yonder, Thy love for us in every hour, in prayer it I ponder. I know not then with wonder full, how I can fitly Thee extol, my God, my Lord, my Father. Chapter 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It pleased God to create the earth in such a manner that it was at first a tohu vabohu, a chaos, without form and void. All material substance was there, but nothing was as yet developed. There was no orderly formation. And it was dark. Where? Upon the face of the deep. What was the deep? A vast roaring mass of water. This deep contained all the elements of the earth, and you cannot imagine this deep too deep, or, as we may also say, too high or too large. It was immense beyond all comprehension and bounds, as we shall see. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. He moved upon the face of this vast mass of water, upon this deep, upon this Thohu Vabahu, like an eagle hovers over her young, like a hen sits brooding upon her eggs, causing the life germ in them to grow and develop into living chicks, which finally break through the shell encasing them and come out. Thus did the Spirit of God, with divine power and exerting divine strength, move upon the face of the waters. And who can say, who can imagine, who can comprehend what life-giving powers the Spirit of God exerted upon the formless and void earth, the earth which already contained the germ of every living thing? It is beyond the comprehension of the human finite mind. Thus it was with the earth in the beginning, at this point in eternity, when there was neither when nor then, neither beginning nor end. Prayer. O Holy Spirit, descend upon me, a poor sinner, and impregnate within me the germ of the new divine life which Thou, true God, hast implanted in my heart by the gospel. Amen. Come, God Creator, Holy Ghost, and visit Thou the souls of men. Fill them with grace as Thou dost Thy creatures make pure again. Teach us to know the Father well, and Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, that in our hearts true faith may dwell, Spirit of both, I adored. Chapter 3. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, God is now speaking, and on this point scriptures teach us something unutterably wonderful. The speaking God, the Word, by which God now continues the creation of the world, is the Son, the eternal only begotten Son of God the Father, true God of God. For the Apostle John, moved by the Holy Ghost, writes, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read that God made the world by the Son. Again, the Apostle John writes that the world was made by the Word, the Son, who is the true light of the world. And the Apostle Paul writes that by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, the exalted angels. And all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Thus, we see that God not only continued the work of creation by the Word, the Son, but that also in the beginning all things were made by Him, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Thus we have here, on the very first page of the Bible, not only an absolutely authentic account of the creation of the world, but also a wonderful revelation of the Creator, of God Himself. God is triune, three distinct persons in one divine essence. God is the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we sing. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. The entire scriptures, from beginning to end, teach the triune God. One God, and yet three persons. We cannot comprehend or grasp this with our finite mind, but God, the eternal God, the creator of all things, surely he is not to be measured with our reason or intellect. He is not to be reached by our understanding. God dwells in a light unto which no man can approach. No man has seen God, nor can any man see him. God's essence is unsearchable and past finding out. I am that I am. That is the majestic name which God gives himself, and with which he rebukes all human officiousness and orders back into its own sphere and limits all human knowledge. But he calls our attention and directs us to his word. There he has revealed himself. There we shall know him unto our salvation. And since the Son is the Word, and since Jesus Christ is the Son, we see God, the invisible God, in Jesus Christ and in his Word. Oh, that we may always be mindful of that. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. We know that in the beginning the earth was a dark, thohu vabahu, a chaos without form and void, a vast mass of water in which all the elements of the earth were contained, and upon which the Spirit of God moved, bestowing and developing life. And the first thing that God brought forth out of the dark and deep void by the Word of his Son, and by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, was light. Aye, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, out of the darkness of the deep. We do not know what kind of light this was. However, we have sufficient knowledge of nature to know that powerful elements of light must have existed in this deep, and God saw that this light was good, without flaw or blemish. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. God divided the light from the darkness. That is, God caused light and darkness to alternate. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. When God caused the light to cease, it was evening. And when God caused the light to shine again, it was morning. And that was the first day upon earth, a day in which there was evening and morning, a day which lasted from one evening to the next evening. After this manner, holy scriptures reckon days. And thus time had its inception, the time in which we live, the time in which one day follows the other. Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thou eternal Word, creator of all things, thou true light, grant me thy Holy Spirit, that I may abide in thee and thy gracious Word, and thus finally pass from the vicissitudes of this present time into the enduring light of eternity. Amen. As the winged arrow flies, speedily the mark to find, as the lightning from the skies darts and leaves no trace behind, swiftly thus our fleeting days bear us down life's rapid stream. Upward, Lord, our spirits raise. All below is but a dream. Chapter 4. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. The word firmament means an expansion, an extension, as, for instance, gold is expanded by beating it. God now commanded, saying, that in the midst of the waters there should be an expansion or spreading out of these waters, and by this expansion a division should be made between the waters and waters. And thus God made this expansion or extension, making by it a dividing and a division between the waters which were under this expansion or extension and the waters which were above it. And so it was. And this expansion or extension God called heaven, giving it the name of the heaven which had been created in the beginning, and of which we spoke under chapter 1. And we too call it heaven, following his example. When we look up into the infinite expanse above us, we say, that is the heaven, or the firmament of heaven. And the heaven stands firm and strong, so firm and strong that words cannot describe it. And when we Christians behold this heaven, we are reminded of that other heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Let us now seek to understand, as well as we can, what we have heard of this second day. The Thohu Vabahu of the earth, the deep in which were contained all the elements of the earth, God expanded and spread out. And if that vast mass of water was already immense, it goes without saying that this expansion or extension made it vastly more immense, so immense, in fact, that it cannot be measured. When we look up into this expansion of waters above, we say, as God himself has taught us, that is the heaven, the sky, the firmament. By this expansion, a division was made between waters and waters. Everything is water. Beneath the firmament there is, first, the water which we drink, and the water in the seas. Then there is the water which we call air, in which we breathe and live. Every high school teaches that air is water, and this can be proven in various ways. If we ascend into the air, for instance, in a balloon, the air becomes thinner and breathing becomes more and more difficult. Going high enough, we finally reach an altitude where breathing and living becomes impossible. These are the regions of the ether. However, also, this ether is water and has immense firmness and carrying capacity. The Word of God tells us that there is water also above the firmament, but we do not know what kind of water this is. Prayer. O God, when I contemplate thy greatness and thy marvelous works, I am overwhelmed. I worship thee. Amen. We praise, we worship thee, we trust, and give thee thanks forever. O Father, that thy rule is just and wise and changes never. Thy boundless power o'er all things reigns. Done is whate'er thy will ordains. Well for us that thou rulest. Chapter 5. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. The water under the heaven, or firmament, had not been expanded or spread out. This water God now gathered together unto one place. Now the dry, that is, the dry land, appeared. This dry land God called earth, And so we speak of the terra firma, the dry, firm earth, in contrast to the deep and moving sea. And the gathering together of the water God called seas, and God saw that it was good. By his almighty word and the power of the Holy Spirit, God now caused the earth, the dry land, to bring forth grass, that is, tender grass, the herb yielding seed, each after his kind, and the fruit trees, whose seed is in itself, each after his kind. This was the beginning of vegetation, of all plant life on earth. And again, God saw that it was good. O Christian, behold the marvelous power of God's Word, the omnipotence of the eternal Son of God, your Savior, and the life-giving power which the Holy Spirit exerted on the earth. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Permit me to relate a story. About 50 years ago, an evangelist walked along a shady street leading from a large city in southern India to a suburb where a magnificent temple was situated. There he saw, sitting under a tree, a philosopher, a Hindu sage. This sage, nearly naked, gazed steadily at his navel and incessantly murmured the words, Om Vikneswara Nama. Om is the holiest of syllables, and Vikneswara Nama means God's name. The philosophy of this sage was that God is the universe, and the universe is God, pantheism, that consequently he was God, and that he could, by deep meditation about himself, and therefore about God, free himself from all error, that is, from those things which are erroneously called sin, pain, sickness, and death. God cannot have sin, pain, sickness, or death, hence he could not have them either. This is an old and well-known Hindu philosophy. Mrs. Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, who often had toothache and is now dead, presented this same philosophy again in a somewhat confused manner, after having adorned it with blasphemously distorted words from the scriptures. The evangelist, seeing the sage sitting there, addressed him, speaking to him of sin and grace. At first, the philosopher paid no attention to him. Finally, in scorn and derision, he said to the evangelist, "The tree first or the seed first?" He undoubtedly thought the evangelist would be unable to answer that question, and would be forced to depart, abashed and beaten. But the evangelist quickly answered, "O thou fool, thinking thyself wise in thine own conceit, God first." Having said this, he went his way. Prayer. O God, thou art the first and the omnipotent one. Thou hast decked the earth with grass and trees. Thou alone art worthy to be praised. Amen. O all ye powers that God implanted, arise, keep silence thus no more. Put forth the strength that he hath granted. Your noblest work is to adore. My soul and body make ye meet, with heartfelt praise your Lord to greet. Ye forest leaves so green and tender, that dance for joy in summer air, ye meadow grasses bright and slender, ye flowers so wondrous sweet and fair, ye live to show his praise alone, help me to make his glory known. Chapter 6. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The light created on the first day was simply the light. The lights here mentioned were to be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and were to receive their light from the light created on the first day. God commanded that these lights were to divide the day from the night. They were to be for the day and for the night. The day and the night were to be divided by their respective lights, exactly in the order established by God on the first day. These lights were also to be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. They were to be for signs, that is, signs distinguishing and marking the times given and determined by them, namely the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, also the days and years, that they might be marked and counted. And they were to be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. By them the earth was to receive illumination. Thus God spoke, and it was so. O hear and behold with worshipful adoration the works of God. Thus God made the two great lights which you well know. He made the greater light to rule and mark the day. That is the sun. And he made the lesser light to rule the night, that is the moon, and God made the stars. All this is recorded and told us in such simple, plain language, as though it were an insignificant and small thing and work. But it is a work so immense, so immeasurably great, that it far transcends all human thought, that it leaves the human mind awestruck and bewildered. But God did that. And with God, the greatest work and deed is a very small and simple work and deed. Oh, learn this truth, dear Christian, and always, living or dying, put your trust implicitly in the omnipotence of God and in His Word, which promises you wonderful blessings, blessings which pass all understanding. God placed the sun, the moon, and the stars in the expanse of the waters, which he called heaven, that they give light upon the earth, and each, respectively, rules over the day and over the night, the sun over the day, the moon and the stars over the night. And as bearers of the light created on the first day, they divide the light from the darkness after the order established by God on the first day, dividing day and night by their rising and setting again. And we know by what God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, by His Word. But out of what did God make the sun, the moon, and the stars? Out of nothing? Surely not. For in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that is, everything that is, out of nothing. But when God thus continued the work of creation, He used that which in the beginning He had created out of nothing. Out of what did God create the sun, the moon, and the stars? Surely not out of the heaven, created in the beginning. This heaven has nothing whatever to do with the light created on the first day, nor with the heaven created on the second day, nor with the seas and vegetation created on the third day. And it surely had nothing to do with what God created on the fifth and sixth days. No, to create the sun, the moon, and the stars, God used the earth, which had been without form and void, a deep wherein all elements and materials were contained, and upon which the Spirit of God moved, giving and bestowing life. Out of this earth God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, even as He had made the light, the firmament, the seas, and all the plants out of the earth. Out of what did God create them, if not out of the earth? Even those scientists who usually ridicule the biblical account of creation admit that sun, moon, and stars contain elements of the earth. However, they often distort the facts and say that our earth was thrown off by the sun, and the meteors which fall from the sky contain elements of the earth. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. What was now the appearance of the earth? Above it spread the vault of heaven, bright with the sun, the moon, and the stars, by day and by night. There was dry land, and there were the seas. The land was covered with the green of trees and grass, but living creatures there were as yet none. Neither was man, for whom God had created all these things. Prayer. O thou eternal God, what love thou hast shown us. Amen. All the hosts of earth and heaven, whatsoe'er I turn mine eyes, for my benefit are given, that they may my needs supply. All that's living, all that's growing, on the heights or in the woods, in the vales or in the floods, God is for my good bestowing. All things else have but their day. God's great love abides for aye. Chapter 7. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God spoke, and the waters now brought forth abundantly moving, living creatures, and fowl which flew above the earth under the firmament of heaven. And thus God created the huge sea monster, as well as all swimming and creeping and crawling things that fill the waters, each after its kind. And thus he created every winged fowl, birds, and whatsoever flies, each after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed the living creatures in the waters and the fowl, saying to the former, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and to the latter, let fowl multiply upon the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The living things in the waters and the fowl of the air were the first creatures possessing autonomous life. True, there is life in all vegetation, and in a sense there is life everywhere and in everything. But life peculiar to the individual thing, a more or less conscious life, is found first in the creatures created on the fifth day. For this reason they are called living in scriptures. And by this life, the animals differ from all other creatures which have not such life. Unbelieving scientists have tried to bridge this difference by endeavoring to produce living things out of lifeless things through chemical process and the like. Already, the German poet Goethe dreamed and wrote of this, but this was and is impossible. But how could the living waters bring forth abundantly every living creature that moveth, and fowl that fly above the earth under the firmament of heaven? God said that it should be thus. God created it all, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and at once gave life to the elements and forces which had been put into the dark deep. Note that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Prayer. I laud and praise thee, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who art the author of all life in heaven and on earth. Amen. The angel host, O King of Kings, thy praise forever telling, in earth and sky all living things beneath thy shadow dwelling, adore the wisdom which could span and power which formed creation's plan. To God all praise and glory. Chapter 8. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God now spoke again, and the earth, that is, the dry land, brought forth living creatures, cattle, domestic animals, creeping things, all the reptiles and beasts of the earth, the wild animals, all these living creatures were created, each after its kind. And the words which God addressed to the fish and the fowl, and afterwards to man, apply also to the cattle and the creeping things and the beast of the earth. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." God created of each a male and a female, and God saw that it was good. The words, "Let the earth bring forth, and let the waters bring forth," substantiate and confirm what was said when we studied the work of the fourth day, namely, that God made everything that he created from the first to the sixth day out of the earth which was created in the beginning and was without form and void, a deep in which all materials and elements were contained, and upon which the Holy Spirit moved, giving and bestowing life. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God said, "Let us make man." Here the account of creation suddenly changes. God said, "Let us make man." We have here a speaking within the Holy Trinity. This is evident from the "one of us" in the words of the Lord, chapter 3, verse 22. This must be borne in mind when explaining the "us." It is not a form of speech such as is employed by kings of the world. God certainly would have the right to speak in that manner, but nowhere in scriptures do we find an example of it. And to assume that God addressed the angels with these words is sheer nonsense. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God would make man in his image, after his likeness. Man should bear the image of God, God's likeness. And what is the image, the likeness of God? True, perfect holiness and righteousness, a perfect knowledge which reaches its climax in the blissful knowledge of God. Furthermore, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God is Lord over all the earth, and under God, man should be Lord over the whole earth and over all its creatures. So God spake. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In and with the first man and woman were created all men that have ever lived upon the earth, are living now, and will live in the future, just as the seed was created in and with the first tree and shrub. This is plainly to be seen from the word, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Hence, all men have been created in the image and after the likeness of God. But what has become of this image and likeness of God? It was lost through the fall into sin, as we shall see. Deprived of the concreated righteousness and holiness, the perfect knowledge of all created things, not to speak of the blissful knowledge of God, shorn of his peaceful and happy dominion over the earth and everything upon earth, such is the present condition of man. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast upon the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." Man and beast were to use the vegetation on the earth as food. So God ordered it at creation. Also, this was changed when man fell into sin. And it was so, as God had said. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Of the creation of man, we shall hear more later. Prayer. O God, thou art great, and great is thy power. Thou hast created heaven and earth and man. Thou hast created everything for us, and behold, it was very good. But because of our transgression, it has now become corrupt. We are the cause. O thou gracious and merciful God, we trust in thy promise that for the sake of Jesus Christ, thou wilt restore again to the former goodness all thy children, myself, and all things. Amen. Come, God Creator, Holy Ghost, and visit thou the souls of men, fill them with graces as thou dost, thy creatures make pure again.